And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. In March, a local whale biologist spotted something out of place in Sitka Sound. She's still having a hard time believing it, but pictures suggest an incredibly rare sighting, a juvenile bowhead whale. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
In late March, marine biologist Ellen Chenoweth was out doing something she's done dozens of times before, looking for whales in Sitka Sound, with a videographer and a Mount Edgecombe High School student.
We kind of went out on the water hoping to find some bubble netters, and we poked around, cruise off the shoreline there, found a few whales, but you know, not really what we were hoping to see. And so we were actually turning to go home and just trying to get any IDs that we could on the way back to town.
They were in the middle of the sound, just south of Inner Point, when they saw a whale surface. But it didn't look like the humpback or gray whales that frequent the area.
I kept thinking that maybe I wasn't like seeing what I thought I was seeing in terms of like, was it a different part of the body than I was expecting? At one point I was like, is that a tail? Like, what am I looking at? But it was just the head bobbing at the surface.
Chenoweth was able to snap two pictures of the whale's head from different angles.
And then it just kind of went down and disappeared. At the time, I just thought, you know, my brain isn't processing this. I'm just like not finding the bucket that this belongs in.
The whale didn't reemerge, so they tried another tactic to ID the whale by dropping a hydrophone in the water. But no luck. Chenoweth took the photos back to her office. She is a research faculty member of marine biology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, but she's based in Sitka. And it just so happened that her longtime mentor, whale biologist Janet Nielsen, was visiting from Glacier Bay. She agreed with Chenoweth. The photos looked weird. So Nielsen sent them to her husband, who works with gray whales. His response? Not a gray whale. So the photo started making the rounds to whale researchers around the region.
So I kind of shyly sent it out to some people and was like, it's probably just a weird gray whale or it's an animal that just has a weird injury or something that I'm not used to seeing. But, you know, maybe. What do you think?
Eventually, the photos made it to marine biologist Kim Sheldon at the Marine Mammal Laboratory for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. A coworker who specializes in North Pacific right whales poked her head in Sheldon's office one day and said, hey, do you have time to come look at something fun?
And of course, I'm like, yes, let me get away from my spreadsheet. So I'll come right down the hall. And she had these two photographs up on her computer. And she asked me, so what is it? Not to bias you. I said, that's a young bowhead. And she goes, that's so. It was really exciting to see that. And I was like, well, where is it? And then when she said, Sitka Sound, I went, oh, not supposed to be there.
Sheldon said while the photos didn't show a lot, bowheads are pretty easy to spot if you know what you're looking for. Unlike right whales, their heads are smooth, and they have a very distinctive high-arched lower jaw.
When their mouths are closed, I mean, the nose, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. It looks like Jimmy Durante. It's got the top of the rostrum is just really narrow, and then these big, huge lower jaws that comes up.
Sheldon says that typically this time of year, bowhead whales are beginning their northern migration from the Bering Sea. She says it's possible that this whale, which seemed to be alone and based on size young, could have gotten lost in that process.
As soon as that ice starts to recede in the spring, they're heading north. So they're going to be heading up to Utqiagvik, rounding the bend and heading toward Canada into the Beaufort Sea to feed for the summer. So this young whale went the wrong way.
Sheldon only knows of one other bowhead sighting in the North Pacific. In 2016, a young bowhead was spotted about 200 miles south of Sitka in British Columbia, feeding with humpback whales in the area. It seemed healthy, but it too was farther south than it should have been. It's hard to know much about the condition of the juvenile bowhead whale near Sitka. That's why Chenoweth is hoping Sitkans on the water will keep their eyes peeled. Any more sightings of the bowhead whale could provide helpful information for researchers.
We kind of want to know, is this whale healthy? You know, if it is confused, could it be due to toxins or something like that? I mean, I think in addition to hoping to see this whale alive, I think there's a chance that a whale this small, that it, if it is a calf that's separated from its mom, it could wash up. I think just trying to understand these unusual sightings, because it does give us some insight into the rest of the population and just changes in the ocean and how animals are adapting to those.
Bowhead whales are endangered and protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. If a boater sees a bowhead whale, the approach regulations are the same as other whales in the area. Maintain 100 yards of distance and do not approach the animal. If your vessel is turned off and the whale approaches you, that's okay. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
The Alaska State Senate passed a bill on Monday to tighten residency requirements for hunting and fishing licenses. If it becomes law, only Alaskans that are eligible for the permanent fund dividend would qualify for a resident license. Wildlife troopers say it would close a loophole that makes it difficult to prosecute people who claim residency but do not spend most of their time in the state. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
Kurt Whitehead lives in Kluwak on Prince of Wales Island, and he says every summer as the humpbacks and herring and salmon return, so too do the island's seasonal residents.
They're basically tourists. You could be nice and call them seasonal residents, but really they only come to our state just for the hunting and the fishing. And sometimes they stay as little as 1 week, and sometimes they stay as much as maybe 4 or 5 months. But their whole intent is just to harvest as much as possible.
Unlike most tourists, they're able to buy fishing and hunting licenses reserved for residents. Whitehead says that's because of the state's eligibility requirements. Once you're in Alaska for a year, basically all you have to do is keep a home in the state, plan to come back, and not claim residency anywhere else.
Some of them do have homes, but there's a large majority of them that just have an RV parked on somebody's lot.
A deputy director of the Alaska Wildlife Troopers told a House committee earlier this year that the loose definition of residency makes it difficult for officials to prosecute people who take advantage. Resident licenses typically have higher daily catch limits and allow folks to participate in resident-only personal use fisheries, like dip netting on the Copper or Kenai Rivers. Or take king salmon. In Southeast, non-residents are limited to between 1 and 3 kings a year, but residents this summer can catch 2 per day. Resident licenses are also a lot cheaper, often 4 or 5 times less expensive than what non-residents pay. Whitehead sits on several state-sponsored fish and game advisory committees for Prince of Wales Island communities, and he's been pushing lawmakers to pass a bill that would eliminate the residency loophole. It would tie residency to PFD eligibility, and that means in most cases you can't leave the state for more than 180 days during the year. There are some exceptions for people in the military and college students and some others, though there's some debate about how consistently those are applied in practice. Clinton Cook leads the Craig Tribal Association, not too far from Kluwak on Prince of Wales Island, and he says people who spend most of their time out of state shouldn't benefit from the breaks the state cuts for its residents.
They're a citizen when it's convenient for them, and, you know, that's not okay.
Tribes, fish and game committees, and municipalities from around the state submitted letters in support of the bill. Nikiski Republican Senator Jesse Bjorkman sponsored it in the Senate.
When people who do not live permanently in Alaska capitalize on fish and game laws meant for residents, they diminish harvest opportunities for year-round residents, the people who shovel snow and stick it out throughout the entire course of the year in our great state.
Senator Mike Schauer, a Wasilla Republican, said he's concerned it could exclude some retirees who leave Alaska for extended periods despite a long history in the state.
There are some concerns from a number of individuals about what this may impact, especially on those that may leave the state for the winter time, which a lot of us do as you get older, go out and visit family and things like that.
He said he was concerned that it could violate the Alaska Constitution's guarantee of equal access to fish and game resources. The Senate ultimately passed the bill 15-5. It now heads to the House, where its prospects are unclear. Lawmakers have just about 3 weeks until all legislation dies at the end of the regular session. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And Trident Seafood's Ketchikan processing plant officially changed hands yesterday. It was announced last month that the Sitka-based Silver Bay Seafoods would be acquiring the plant, which was put up for sale last year. The two companies announced the finalized acquisition in a joint statement yesterday morning. Silver Bay Seafoods is one of the largest processors of whitefish, salmon, herring, and squid in Alaska, with facilities in nearby Craig and Sitka. Representatives from Silver Bay say they will run the facility similarly to Trident's operation. The vast majority of management staff at the plant have been retained, and other key staff and processing workers who wish to return to Ketchikan for the 2024 season will have opportunities to do so. That's all for the KTOO newscast today. For more stories, you can check out our website at ktoo.org.